Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Hi, I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. Back again, a very special friend and guest, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York. Kirsten Gillibrand was first elected to the House of Representatives in 2006 and appointed to the U.S. Senate in 2009. She is currently the ranking member of both the Senate Aging and Transportation, Housing and Urban Development Committees, and also serves on the Senate Armed Services Committee and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, and in the Senate Committee on Appropriations and Related Agencies and Subcommittees. Among her many accomplishments, in just her first term, Senator Gillibrand led the effort to repeal discriminatory practices of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which banned LGBTQ people from serving openly in the military. She also led the fight to pass the historic 9/11 health bill, which ensured the first responders and 9/11 survivors got health care as they deserved, as well as the fight to provide every working person in America with paid leave. More recently, she passed major legislation to give benefits to veterans exposed to toxic burn pits overseas and worked to reform the military justice system on behalf of our nation's services members. In addition, Senator Gillibrand passed the first ever law making domestic gun trafficking a crime and wrote and passed the STOCK Act to ban members of Congress and their families from insider trading. And she was the first member of Congress ever to post a daily report listing her official meetings, earmark requests, and personal finance disclosures online for public consumption. As a working mother, Senator Gillibrand's home is in Albany, New York, where she grew up and still lives with her husband, Jonathan, and two boys, Theo and Henry, and a Labrador, Maple. Welcome back to Reaching Out.
Thank you.
The reason I read that, because as I'm reading, everything you've done so far is relevant, and it seems like everything you've done so far is under attack right now.
Yeah, it is.
And I just kept reading and reading and reading. And I said, you know, as much as our senator has done, it still remains relevant and still we have to fight for. Every issue on there we have to fight for. Welcome back to Reaching Out.
Thank you, Greg. It's true. Our whole state, our values are under attack by the Trump administration. They definitely have decided that they don't care whether the American people can afford their food or their medicine or their housing or the fuel to fuel their cars. President Trump has said many times that that's not what he's focused on. And what's really a shame is that he really promised when he ran for office that he would be a peacetime president and one who would invest in Americans and getting their costs down. And so that's been deeply disappointing for New Yorkers. He is attacking LGBTQ equality. He's attacking education. He's attacking healthcare, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, all the social safety nets that we fought for. And he won't invest in housing and he won't invest in transportation. And those are the things that I am in a position now to actually get real investments on. So he really has tried to undermine New Yorkers and their ability to provide for their families.
Well, I say this and I have to say it. We had the World Cup come to the United States. And unfortunately for the World Cup, everything that President Donald Trump touches gets destroyed. He touched that FIFA cup and now they're looking to destroy it. His son-in-law is looking to get $20 billion in investors to come. You don't need investors for the FIFA World Cup. The World Cup stands on its own. Now, the countries are talking about they're going to boycott it. So, there it is. He's ruined soccer.
Well, it's really not,
Yeah.
it's not outside of what he's been doing. I mean,
Oh, he's
he
consistent.
cut the food stamps. He wants to defund Meals on Wheels. He's cut early childhood education. He wants to defund NIH grants. He wants to remove the Department of Education. He's really having an all-out attack on working people. And so it's very frustrating that things that used to work so well and really help people have been undermined so severely.
Yeah, and it reminds me of Rick Wilson's book. The title says it's all the same.
Yeah.
Everything Trump touches dies.
Yeah.
And that is says it all.
Well, actually, he said to Greg, he said several times that he really thinks the federal government should only pay for war. Like, he literally is choosing to pay for bombs over food and housing and fuel and people's concerns and worries. He does want to dismantle social safety nets like Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. He's actually said so. So he really is against sort of the American dream and what people have fought for their whole lives to just be able to work hard and make a living and provide for families, and really undermining the infrastructure and the promises that make that possible for a lot of Americans.
You know, it takes a special person to look in the mirror, wake up, and say, you know what? Today I don't have any problems. So I'm going to make one. That's a special person. There was no problem with Iran. We had a deal, the best deal we could get. It was done by President Barack Obama. Whether you like the man or not, the deal was done. Everything was good. Tore up that
Strait of
deal.
Hormuz was open. We had no
Yeah.
problems with our fuel.
He did the tore up the deal the first term. The second term coming around, he's actually finishing it, and I'm just looking. It's just nothing but chaos. What do you mean we can't go in there for 4 days like Venezuela? No, you can't. There's a reason why the American presidents have not gone to war or had these outbreaks with Iran in over 45 years. There's a reason for that. Now he knows the reason.
He has no exit strategy. He had no strategy to begin with. He had no plan.
No.
And this is a chaotic war that he can't seem to end. And frankly, he's never been clear about why we're fighting it. And our service members deserve to know what their mission is and deserve to have an exit strategy and deserve to have the support of the American people. And he has not earned the support of the American people because he never came to Congress to get the war authorized. So therefore, it's an illegal, authorized war that's deeply unpopular. 70% of Americans are against war.
I remember when he put the person in charge, Pete Hegseth,
Except, yeah.
and I looked. I said, you know, if I have a problem with my car, I'm not going to go to my barber. My barber's not going to fix my car.
Yeah.
If I have any kind of problem, I'm going to the person whose field it is. So if I have a military, I'm going to go out and get military brains who understand and study this. I don't.
Yeah.
But when you put the most unqualified people in the most important positions, you have nothing but chaos.
That's right. And Secretary Hegseth really wasn't qualified for this job. And you've seen it in his actions. He cut the whole department, 90% of the department whose job was to make sure we don't have civilian harm and civilian deaths. He fired all the people who were responsible for protecting us from Russia interfering in our elections. And he's fired a lot of generals and top military officers because they're either a person of color or a woman. He's got all these litmus tests that make no sense. And he's the one who said he wanted people to be able to be in the service based on their capabilities. Well, he's just firing people left and right because he doesn't like how they look. So he's been a very unsuccessful and problematic Secretary of Defense.
And you know, it doesn't stop there. We didn't ask a question, but we're on a good topic. It didn't stop there because now you have RFK Jr. Siblings begged everyone not to support him. If my brother My siblings said something about me that was horrible. It wasn't because they didn't like me. It was because they know me and live with me. I had to take that in stock. And now we see that because I have not had a salad in over a month because I can't trust the lettuce and I don't care where it comes from. I don't want lettuce on anything. I don't want any. Why? Because at now I realize that unfortunately we do not have a department that goes in and inspects food because RFK fired everybody. They don't have inspections. Everything is lax. And I'm afraid that something is going to get that there's some food is contaminated and we're not going to hear about it.
Yeah, I think
Afraid of
he's
everything.
definitely not focused, and the administration is unwilling to actually have FDA inspectors and actually inspect the food coming into this country and make consumers feel confident that the food that they're feeding their family is safe.
Yeah, that's another problem. I mean, we could go department by department. Then you got the education department. Then I watch what they do, and they say, well, degrees aren't going to be valuable if the degree doesn't match the salary and everything else. Now you're going to destroy education. And if you destroy education, you destroy food, you're destroying every fabric of America. It leaves everybody vulnerable.
Yeah, it's undermining the whole premise of the American dream that you can, no matter where you start, you can provide for your family and your way into the middle class. And without educational support, that's not going to happen for a lot of families. And it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. And New Yorkers are very pissed off. They're very angry at they don't have a fair shake, and that a lot of their support that was getting them into the middle class has been ripped aside.
You know, we have a lot of members, and we just received our 3.25 increase. Unfortunately, at the time of the contract, 5 years ago, that was a good contract. It didn't stand the test of time because nobody could predict what's happening now. Food, gas, everything rose. And I understand frustrations because everything has risen. And our members are not sitting at home understanding that because of the conflict with Iran, Strait of Hormuz being closed, that food prices have gone up because of the fertilizer can't get through because the fertilizer comes from the Middle East and it comes through the Strait of Hormuz, so that's blocked. So the farmers can't get the fertilizer to grow food. So there's less food. The prices go up. The gas prices are that way because the fuel can't come through.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So the gas prices are up. So they don't understand why the food prices are up, why the gas prices are up, why everything is up, and they can't connect it to the government and our president, Donald Trump. Everything's connected there, no matter what kind of contract
100%. He's got
he's
unlimited
responsible.
dollars for bombs and not enough money for groceries. And he with his chaotic tariffs, things we do import, whether it's food from Canada or Mexico or lumber to build more housing to get our housing costs down, all those imports have massive taxes on them now. So it's all more expensive. And so anything you're going to buy at Walmart or any other low dollar store, it's going to be much more expensive because of tariffs on Canada or tariffs on China or tariffs on Mexico. So the chaotic tariffs on top of a war that's costing us billions of dollars. And all the while, Trump continues to do tax breaks for his billionaire buddies while he continues to fund a war at $1 billion a day. It's shocking. I don't know where his priorities are, but they're not consistent with what he told America.
Yeah, and see, the average American doesn't understand or realize what is going on. All they know is they can't pay for things, and it's cause and effect. They don't know. They know the cause, but they don't know what the. I mean, they know the effect, but they don't know what the cause. And there are very few outlets left that actually speak about what's going on.
Yeah, it's true.
There are networks being bought out and silenced. People. Reporters and journalists being silenced if they speak
Yeah,
up. They're
that's
being
true.
quiet.
And attacked and making them disclose their sources and sued. serve subpoenas at their home. It's pretty outrageous.
They have to back off those things, but the intent is there. The intent is to intimidate,
Yes, it is.
not to be successful. It's to intimidate.
Well, one of the things that is good news is despite Trump and his administration, we've been able to work across the aisle with some Republican senators to actually help people. So we worked hard to get the money for the 9/11 health bill, and we've had good allies to get that money in so people can get their cancer screenings and that no matter what diseases they get, they be covered. And related, I was able to work with Senator Ted Cruz to get money for benefits for our police officers and firefighters that if someone gets injured in the line of duty or is unfortunately deceased because of the line of duty, their benefit can be paid out much quicker because now it's taking years to pay benefits. And so that's something that we've been working on to fix that. So I'm optimistic that we can continue to help people despite Trump's unwillingness to help people.
Tell us how that came about.
Yeah, well, Senator Cruz and I, we tend to work across the aisle when it helps first responders or our men and women who serve in the military. And so we were able to find common ground because it's disgraceful that people who have passed or are disabled because of their duty, they aren't getting the resources they need to feed their families. And so we just agreed. And so we've put that bill together and it's just an example of how to outmaneuver the Trump administration by finding common ground with Republicans to actually put bills on the floor. So hopefully we'll get a vote on this sooner than later because we think we can get this done in this Congress. It's something that can actually be done. But in another example, Greg, is that we had this great partisan housing bill that passed unanimous, not unanimously, maybe close to unanimous if it wasn't, but most people voted for it, and then Trump wouldn't sign it because he said, "I won't sign it unless it includes the SAVE Act," which is a terrible bill, not about voter ID. It's actually about that you have to have a passport or a birth certificate to vote. And about 50% of Americans don't have a passport. And a lot of people don't know where their birth certificate is. And if you're a married woman like me who changed her name, it's rare that our certificates match our married name. So you'd have to go and get that fixed. So he doesn't want people to vote. He wants to disenfranchise people from voting. And so that is something that, again, just shows that even though Congress is willing to work together, he will subvert something common sense like that just to score political points.
You talk about the bill that last second he went up to the hill and then he
Yeah,
said,
and
I'm
he
not.
wouldn't sign it. Yeah, he didn't sign it. It still may came into law because as long as he doesn't veto it, it will come to law. But it just shows he's not
Well, I think the time has passed
for
for that, right? So it
it's
should
passed.
be.
Yeah, the House knows there's a lot of money now for more affordable housing. And because I'm the senior Democrat on the Housing and Transportation Subcommittee of Appropriations, I've gotten millions more into New York just to build more housing. So we need to be able to build it fast. We need to make it affordable. That's why the tariffs unfortunately make it more expensive. And those are hurting us. But at least we have more resources to do more in the housing area.
We have 9/11. We went through. Let me see what we have. Local 237 members also have. We have thousands of members who are current law enforcement.
Yes. And they are eligible for the 9/11 health bill. So when they do get sick, they should register anyway. Everyone should register for the program so that they're being monitored. So if anything happens that you're unexpected, that was unexpected, like start getting a heart issue or a respiratory issue or even headaches or any type of issue that is unusual for you should definitely be monitored because if your exposure to those toxins that were released on 9/11 have affected your health, you can get all the health care needed to protect your body and protect your health. And you can get compensation if you do get sick.
But you have to have worked on 9/11
Yep.
2001, not the
Yeah.
current
It,
date.
if
So
you were
we
there or lived at Ground Zero afterwards, because
ground
if you remember, the smoldering pile was releasing toxins for months.
months, half a year.
Yeah, very much so. I lived downtown. It wasn't downtown. It was like I lived on 39th Street. But even on 39th Street, you could smell the toxins
Yes.
for, I'd say, 6 months. You could smell it. It was really, really nauseous.
So, we mentioned that you are a ranking member of the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Subcommittee.
Yes.
We just spoke about what you did with the subcommittee. Can you just
go over? Talk a little more? Yeah. So being on this committee allows me to advocate for more resources to get money into our state. So when you talk to any New Yorker, nobody can afford their housing. If they don't own a home that they bought a long time ago, they definitely can't afford to buy a house. And to find a rental unit that's affordable is really difficult. It's very hard to find affordable housing in New York City, but also the whole state, Greg. I don't know if you know that, but like there are, no matter where you are, even in upstate New York or in Long Island or Western New York or the Southern Tier, it's expensive everywhere. So one of the things that I want is getting more money for housing, but I'm also going to get more money for the New York City Housing Authority, NYCHA. If you've ever like followed the NYCHA debates, people are living with vermin and mold and
I remember working that. Yes.
Terrible, terrible conditions. And that's a disgrace. No one should have to live in subpar housing, especially if you're lower income and need the benefit of public housing. They shouldn't be offering subpar, dangerous, or housing that will make you sick. So one of the things we got one of the housing authorities for the Patterson House, we got $5 million just to address the root causes of mold and leaks so that they can renovate and make sure the housing is safe. I'll be doing that for a lot of NYCHA and other places around the city.
Okay. Now, I know you have been pushing for the passage of the Faster Contracts Act, which requires employees to come up with and negotiate quickly in good faith. Can you tell us how that's going about?
So it's obviously really important. We can shorten contract delays while allowing workers to be able to advocate on their behalf without risking months of unpaid strike time. So this bill would help both the unions and the workers and the employers at the same time to come to the table, reach resolution easier. It strengthens unions' power and allows them to get the kind of assurances on a timeline that they need that they're negotiating in good faith. So we think this is a way to expedite the process of newly organized workers to secure their first union contract. Really important that when you have a new company and you've got workers that want to organize, that they can do so expeditiously. Right now, the National Labor Relations Act allows negotiations on forever. So we require that they have to be able to begin their negotiations 10 days after a vote to form a union. And that if you don't complete that, you could seek mediation through a third party if an agreement is not reached in 90 days. It just will allow more people to unionize more quickly without all the delay tactics. I mean, I heard from one union that they were sued so many times that the lawyers delayed their contract over 2 years, just constantly delaying it through legal means. And that's just the baseline strategy. And that's not good. That's not acceptable. So this bill would eliminate that constant pressure of having these attorneys delay all organizing when you're a new union.
Thank you. Thank you for all the good work that you've done.
Thank you. Thank you for your leadership. And thank you for having this radio show. I really appreciate the chance to be on it.
You may have been on at least 7 or 8 times.
But yes. Thank you, Greg. I always appreciate seeing you. And we'll, maybe this summer we can get lunch again.
Oh, that, I would love that.
I would love that too.
If you're here, I'll be there. If you're here, we figure out the schedules either here or Washington. We love
great.
To have.
Well, you're welcome. Anytime you're down in DC for business, unlimited invitation. But I'll get you near your house too, so I'll come visit you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
All the time we have for this edition of Reaching Out, I want to thank our senator from New York, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.